So what if a client refuses to answer the questions? This can happen. So first off, you want to avoid a power struggle. You want to, of course, convey your care for their safety, and then really open up the conversation to explore their reasons for refusal. Ask alternative questions. Try that to see if you can get the needed information. There's lots of ways to find out if somebody's having thoughts of, suicidal thoughts or have engaged in any kind of suicidal behaviors. So having that conversation where you're exploring their reasons, I think is key because, you know, a client will have very good reasons. And so it's important that we can hear what they have to say, really listen. So for example, you might have a client that just stops answering because they're annoyed that you ask them all the time. And so they feel targeted, maybe, you find out when you open up this conversation. And they feel like you don't believe them. Why do you keep asking me? You know, you think something's wrong with me, this kind of thing. For like example, if you're seeing Tay, this might be a common response. And so, you know, revisiting the reasoning why and reminding them that we actually ask all of our clients this question. And, you know, that can take some of the concern away. And asking them how, if there's a different way they would like to share this information with you. Maybe they just want to start off each session by telling you off the bat that they haven't had, you know, answering the questions without you even asking them, and really working with them. It's their treatment. It's their, you know, joining with them to how they would like to help you get this important information each time. And then if they still aren't willing to answer the questions, document your attempts to ask the questions and the client's refusal and your clinical thoughts, and consult for sure. You know, there could be, your supervisor might have other strategies to assist you, and do your best to assess and safety plan around potential risk. Now, what if the client is telling you no to the screener questions, but their body language or some other clinical indicator is telling you that their answers might not be accurate? So there's some incongruency. So you can use observational reflection. You can simply reflect that I notice you're saying no to this, but I'm seeing, you know, fill in the blank, whatever it is that you're seeing that seems incongruent. And then seek understanding. Again, that open, non-judgmental, supportive, authentic, you know, approach. Maybe they're afraid that you're going, if they tell you honestly that they are having some thoughts, that you're going to immediately put them in the hospital. And so again, psychoeducation goes a long way here because you can really explore and talk about the fact that there are many options often before hospitalization, you know, that there are other ways that you can work with the client to ensure their safety. And really, you know, create that safe space for them to talk about what's going on. And then this idea of inference. So Kelly Posner, the developer of the CSSRS, she talks about how we can infer intention in some cases if the behavior can only be viewed as a suicide attempt, even though the client is saying that they had no intention to harm themselves. So let's say that the client took a whole bunch of vitamins. They thought that the vitamins, if they took enough of them, would be deadly. And so they took them and it was an unsuccessful attempt. But they're telling you now that they had no intention. They were just kind of goofing off or kind of did it for attention. They really didn't have an intention to kill themselves. But because they have told you that they thought that amount of vitamins would kill them, that would be considered an attempt by inference. And then documenting the client's incongruence and your clinical thoughts very well. Consulting again with your supervisor, doing your best to assess and safety plan around potential risk.